Okay, this week's parasha is Parashas Korach. Okay, let's begin. Vayikach Korach, page 820. Vayikach Korach, ben Yitzhar, ben Kos, ben Levi. Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kos, the son of Levi, took. V'dasan v'aviram b'nei Eliyav, v'in ben Pelos b'nei Reuven. V'dasan and Aviram, the sons of Eliyav, and Om ben Pelos, the sons of Reuven. V'yakumu lifnei Moshe, and they arose before Moshe. Va'anoshim b'nei Yisrael chamishim masayim, and people from b'nei Yisrael 250, nesiei Eda, princes of the assembly, kriyei mayed, those who were summoned for meeting, anshei shem, men of name, men of renown. Va'yikoalu al Moshe al Aaron, and they congregated against Moshe and Aaron, va'yemru aleihem, they said to them, Rav lechem, too much for you. Kichado Eda kulam kadeshim, for the entire assembly are all holy. Ubeseichem Hashem, Hashem is in their midst. Madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem, and why do you exalt yourselves over the congregation of Hashem? So, if you take a look at Rashi and Pasuk Gimel, Rashi on the words Rav Lachem, Har b'yesim idai lakachnu la'atzvachem gedula. You've taken too much greatness for yourself. Kulam kadeshim, all of the Jewish people are holy. Kulam shamu devarim b'sina v'pi agvura. All the Jewish people heard the words on Sinai from the mouth of God. Umadua tisnasu, why do you exalt yourselves? Im lakach ta'ata malchus, if you, Moshe, took the kingship, leher l'chalabar l'chicha kuhuna, you should not have chosen for your brother to be the Kohen. Lo atem levatchem shematem b'sinai, you alone didn't hear, anechi Hashem alaykech, I Hashem your God, kol lo eid Hashem, who the entire assembly heard. So this is where Korach led his rebellion against Moshe, complaining about the fact that Moshe should not have given his brother to be Kohen Gadol, rather he should have. At the same time, he seems to be making a claim that everybody is holy, everybody heard the Torah at Sinai, and therefore everybody should have a chance. At least according to some Mefarshim learned that way.
Why do you think that he meant that Moshe should have been Kohen Gadol rather than someone else?
No. If Moshe was the leader, what? Then he shouldn't have given his brother to be the Kohen Gadol. Someone else from a different family should have been the Kohen Gadol. Okay? And basically the way Rashi seems to be learning, that seems to be the main focus about, you know, why did Moshe chose Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol? And the argument that Korach makes is, Kol Eidu Kolam Kadeshim, why are you two taking the highest positions? While everybody heard Hashem give the Torah at Sinai, and therefore it means everybody has theoretically the potential. Okay. So the Gemara comments on Pasuk Beis, where it says, "Vayakumu lifnei Moshe," they arose against Moshe. Korach brought with him 250 men, and the 250 men are described as Nesiei Eda, princes of the assembly. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kofiud Amal Aleph explains that each phrase that describes these men represents something else. The Siye Eda, princes of the assembly, means Miuchadim Shebe Eda. They were special people of the assembly. They were very unique and special people. Kriye Moed, which literally means called for assembly, but Moed also comes from the word Moed as in holiday. And what does Kriye Moed mean? Those who are called of the holiday, so to speak. These were men knowledgeable in making a leap year and in setting the months. You know, in the times when we didn't have a calendar, but it was established through witnesses, there was a whole system of knowing, of accepting the witnesses. There was a whole system of knowing when the month should be falling out, when the new month should be falling out, when it's necessary to have to add another month, another Adar, in order to make sure that all the holidays come out properly. So these words, Kriye Mayed, called of the holiday, means people who are involved in setting up the Yamim Tevim, meaning those who were involved in setting up the months and of the leap years. These were men who were involved in this part of Torah knowledge, clearly great men, and they were experts in this field of knowing when and how to be able to make a leap year, meaning to add another month to the Jewish calendar, and when the months have to fall out. That is what is being alluded to in the words Kriyei Moed. And Anshei Shem, men of name, Shoyu Lehem Shem B'chol Ha'olam, very famous people, very well-known, renowned people. So the Be'er Yosef asks, clearly the Pasuk is trying to tell us these 250 men supporting Korach, he had good support. The people that he had supporting him were illustrious people. So to call them the Nesi'ei Eda, to call them Yuchadim, you know, singled out people, very special people, okay, that makes a lot of sense as to how that adds support to him by these people. Anshei Shem, very renowned, very well known. Again, this all shows their importance. The fact, though, that they were, that they knew how to, they were well versed in establishing the leap year, knowing when the month is supposed to fall out, how does that add to Korach's support? What does that mean? What is it about this particular part of Torah knowledge? I mean, it's one part of a vast Torah knowledge that they had as the great scholars that they were. Why was this specific point that they knew how they were well versed in the laws of making a leap year and of when the months have to fall out? Why is that part of their knowledge so important to bring out here in their being supporters of Korach? That's the question that the Be'er Yosef asks. Let's read a little bit further. And if we take a look at Pasuk Dalet. Vayishma Moshe vayipol al panav. Moshe heard Korach's claims against him, and he fell on his face. Vayidaber al Korach v'kol adosei lemar. He spoke to Korach and to all of his assembly, saying, Baker, in the morning, V'yayid HaShem es asher loy, God will make known who is his. Yes, HaKadosh and the Holy One, the Hikrev Elov, he shall bring him close to him. Veis asher yivchar bo Yakrev Elov. And the one he will choose will be the one he will draw close to himself. So Moshe says to Korach, Boker, in the morning Hashem will make it known. What was the point of, in the morning Hashem will make it known? Say, we take a look at the bottom Rashi on the left column. Ata eshikhre sulanu v'leinochem laharis lefanev v'hoya miskavim l'duchayitza v'shem yachzir v'hem. Moshe was trying to say to Korach, this is not something that we can take care of right now. It's the afternoon, you've eaten the main meal, you're a little, you know, little taken over by food and drink. It's just in general, it's not a time to deal with such a serious thing. Let's wait till the next morning. And Rashi says Moshe's intention was hoping that by the next morning, they change their mind and back off. Okay. Another explanation that Rashi brings down, this is on page 822, it's a medrash. And the word boker, which is three lines from the top of the right column of Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said boker, meant to say the following. He meant to say morning. He was trying to convey the following message. Omer lahem Moshe. Moshe said to them, Hashem has created boundaries. He has created parameters in his world. Can you change the morning to the evening? The same way you can change morning to night is you'll be, that's how, that's the same you'll be able to change this choice of Aaron. It says it was evening, it was morning, and Hashem vayavdel made a separation. He set up, day has its time, night has its time. There are boundaries in the world. Aaron was set aside to be sanctified. Aaron, the word Vayibadel is used on Aaron. Aaron being made the Kohen Gadol, he was separated from everyone else to be the Kohen Gadol, to have Kahuna. And that's the wording that we find, Vayavdel, Hashem he divided between day and night. There are parameters. There are boundaries. There are things that have their set place and their set times. So when Moshe says Boker in the morning, he's trying to, what he was saying to Korach was, that the same way there are boundaries, there is morning and there is night, you can't change it. There is Aaron as the Kohen, and there's everybody else, and you can't change that either. This was a message being given over to Korach. That Korach says, everybody's holy, everybody's the same. And the message back is, if you look in the world, the Rabban Shalom has created parameters, boundaries, differences, separations, different levels, different missions, different purposes, different jobs. And the same way you can't change morning and night, you cannot change Aaron from what he's been chosen for. Okay. So it seems like a nice metaphor that Moshe was saying over to was saying to Korach and to his people, especially since his claim was everybody's the same. The response was, well, we find differences. Hashem has created differences in the world.
But he did not, although in the explicit text, he did not say that Hashem will say that I was right. He said Hashem will choose.
Right, Hashem will point it out. But he was already alluding to them before it happened. I mean, he said, Boker, this is the day before. He's already trying to allude to them, you know, what you're trying to do is, it's not going to happen. Because the same way you can't change day from night, you can't change Aaron from what he's been separated, from what he's been designated for, especially over everybody else. So, Rabbi Yosef gives a very interesting explanation, you know, starting with the first question that we started with, about why is there a special mention of the fact that these 250 men were great scholars, the fact that they were experts in making a leap year and in setting the months. What was that? What's the importance of that detail? And with that, he also adds explanation. He adds explanation to what Moshe was trying to say to Korach when he said, "Boker, in the morning, you can't change day from night. You can't change Aaron back from what he's been separated from." So the Bar Yosef explains that, you know, Korach is leading rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody knew Moshe Rabbeinu was called up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. You can't deny that. Right? You can't deny that Moshe was chosen by Hashem to be the one to give the Torah to the Jewish people. Can't deny that. But it would seem that Korach's claims were that the Ten Commandments we all heard, or at least the first two we heard, whichever opinion you follow, right? And we know that Hashem called up Moshe. But the rest of the Torah, we rely on Moshe. He tells us this is what Hashem taught him, and he told us this, we're supposed to rely on him. And Korach's rebellion is to say that, no, we should not rely on Moshe. He's not reliable. And he started, and his first challenge to Moshe starts, and his main challenge to Moshe is with Moshe's claim that Hashem chose Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol. And then we find Rashi brings down another thing that Aaron was doing, challenging Moshe's reliability. Rashi brings down that Korach and all 250 men approached him and Aaron, dressed in talesim of techeles, of dyed blue. And we know that tzitzis, one of the tzitzis is supposed to have the one techeles string. So Korach comes to Moshe and he says, if I have a talus that's completely the color techeles, do I still need techeles on my tzitzis? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes. So what does Korach say? Well, that's ridiculous, right? One streak of techeles is good enough and a whole talus of techeles isn't good enough? So, without getting involved right now into what Korach was trying to do. But you see that Korach is trying to challenge Moshe on his, in believing what he said. Anything that you have to rely upon Moshe, that this is what Hashem's word to him, this is what Korach is challenging to say, no, it's not that way. Now, the Bar Yosef asks a very specific question though on Korach's challenging Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol. And that is that we find in a Medrash, that during the 7 days leading up to the 8th day of the Meluim, when Aaron brought the sacrifices and the Shekhinah finally rested on the Mishkan. So the Medrash says that for 7 days, Moshe, and Rashi brings this down to Parashat Shemini, for 7 days, Moshe was erecting the Mishkan, he was doing the service in the Mishkan, he was taking it apart, and the Shekhinah did not rest any of those days on the Mishkan. And the Jewish people were getting depressed, and they were saying to Moshe, is all the work that we've put into creating the Mishkan, is it all for naught? Is the Shekhinah ever going to rest amongst us that we should know that we were forgiven for the sin of the golden calf? And Moshe says to them, it's not me who's going to do it. The one who's going to bring the Shekhinah down on the Mishkan is going to be Aaron. And on the 8th day, this is what Moshe said. This is what Hashem has commanded you should do, and then the honor of God shall appear upon you. Aaron achi kedai v'chashiv mimeni. Aaron, my brother, is more worthy than me. It's going to be his service that's going to bring the Shekhinah down, and you will all see that he is the one that is chosen. And that's what happened. On the eighth day, Parsha Shmini describes how Aaron brought the sacrifices, and then the Shechina came down onto the Mizbeach, burnt the sacrifices, and a fire came down, rather, burnt the sacrifices, and the Shechina now was present in the Mishkan. So basically, Moshe said, you need Aaron to bring down the Shechina. And that's exactly what happened. When Aaron did the Avodah, when he did the service, that's when the Shechina came to rest. So it would seem pretty clear that Aaron should be the Kohen Gadol. So how does Korach challenge that? How does Korach challenge what seemed to have been pretty clear that it was Aaron's actions that you need for the Shechina to rest? It must be he's the Kohen Gadol, as Moshe said. How does Korach deal with that specifically? Says the Ber Yosef that Korach deals with that specifically with the following claim. He says that we know Moshe is Hashem's prophet. We know that Moshe is Hashem's prophet, and that, you know, Hashem designated him to pick the Kohen Gadol. That's step number one. Step number one is Hashem gave Moshe the power to choose the Kohen Gadol. And if Moshe chooses the Kohen Gadol, that's the Kohen Gadol. He works. If Moshe chose him, he works. If Moshe chooses his brother, he works. If Moshe chooses somebody else, he works. So the fact that Moshe says it's not me, it's the Kohen Gadol, yeah, it has to be the Kohen Gadol that's going to bring the Shechina. Who has to be the Kohen Gadol? Whoever Moshe Rabbeinu chooses. And whoever he chooses works. Even if he really shouldn't be. Because that's what Korach's trying to say. Korach's trying to say, Aaron shouldn't be, I should be, because I'm next in line. Aaron's carbonus worked, and that's the only thing that worked? Not because it's Aaron, it's because he's the Kohen Gadol. And if he was made the Kohen Gadol by Moshe, he is the Kohen Gadol. Fact. Because even if Moshe appoints, so to speak, not the right person, but if Moshe appoints him, it's going to work. So now, Korach needs some kind of a proof. He needs support to be able to say that if Moshe makes a decision, even a wrong one, even if it's not the right one, it still works. He wants to find a source. He wants to find support for that of the Torah. Where does he find it? He finds it in the laws of establishing the new moon, the new months, and everything about the calendar. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Halacha, and it's based on a whole episode in the Mishnah, that basically, if the Sanhedrin, if their leadership, establishes a new month, even if they did it wrong, it was a mistake. You find it, realize afterwards it was a mistake. It's done. Don't take it back. It's done. Even if they were mistaken, it's done. The Gemara seems to say, even if they intentionally did it wrong, it's done. For whatever reason, they do such a thing. But the point is that we find by establishing the months, we find by establishing the holidays and the calendar, we find a power given to the sages that when they decide this is the time, it's done, whether they're right or wrong. This is what Korach was trying to support his argument with. The same way we find that the leadership, even if they make a mistake when it comes to the new moon, it's done, it's accepted, it's what it is, it's the halacha. That is exactly what happened here when Moshe appointed Aaron. So says the Ber Yosef, you know why? Korach brought the 250 men who were experts in the laws of establishing the leap year and the new months. Because if there's anybody who knows this halacha about an example of the sages making a decision that even if it's wrong, it stands and it works, they know it. That's who they are. So if there's going to be, let's say, in the way I understand it is, if let's say there's going to be some kind of claim, oh, you can't compare the two things. If the people who are expert in these laws, they do compare it, then you're not going to question it.
Well, but Moshe should have thrown their argument right back at them.
That.
If done is done,
you can change it.
No, you can change it.
You can change it.
But with the calendar,
but you can change that kind of level. Can't change the calendar, can't change the month.
Then what kind of analogy is that?
No, because the analogy is that a mistaken decision works. And when you can back, and when you can fix it, you fix it. When you can't, you can't. You can't go back and redo the calendar. That's a big mess.
Doesn't affect.
That's a big mess. Yeah, I mean, it's going to continue the way it is. In the next month, hopefully, they'll get it right. But the point is that now I understand your point, but I think the answer is going to be that you know the month is done, right? Could they change it back? I don't know. They probably wouldn't change it back because again, it throw things off. But here, okay, Aaron did his thing, but if he's not the right guy, you could change him. The only thing is, you can't change him.
Now, you said a few minutes ago that Korach felt that he is the next in line.
Correct.
Why?
It had to do with the families. That Moshe was the eldest son of the eldest son.
Oh,
and therefore, Korach expected that the eldest son of the next son should get the next position. That was his claim. You're right. So the son of the eldest son, you're correct. A son of the eldest son takes one, and then a son of the next son should take the other. Okay, so that is his claim. Your point is a good point, but I think that would be the answer. That there's nothing saying that you can't fix it. And therefore, he brought this support to for this idea. But again, the basis of the whole claim of Aaron is to say that Moshe was given the power to choose the Kohen Gadol, who he chooses can be the Kohen Gadol, and it'll work, meaning he becomes the Kohen Gadol, he attains the status of Kohen Gadol, he can bring the sacrifices. If you need the Kohen Gadol to be the one who's going to bring the Shekhinah to the Mishkan, that Kohen Gadol could be the one. But again, it was Moshe Rabbeinu's appointment, and if he appoints him, it works. At the same time, it was not the right person, and therefore it should be corrected. When Moshe responds, Boker, you know, the morning, right? You know, you can't change the morning tonight. And this is the same. So the essential point that Moshe is saying, according to the Bar Yosef, is, it's not me. I'm not the one who chose Aaron. Hashem chose Aaron. And the same way you can't change Hashem's choice about when's morning, when is night, you can't change this choice of Aaron. But now I want to read you the whole Medrash. Rashi is bringing down the whole Medrash. I want to read you the whole Medrash about what Moshe was saying here by Boker, but with the word Boker, and it's very interesting. So, okay. Amalei Moshe, Gevulos Chalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bayilamai. Hashem has created boundaries, parameters in his world. Can you switch over day and night? The pasuk first says, it was evening, it was morning. Hashem separated, as Rashi says, was some kind of a mixture of both at one point. But then Hashem separated it. So Vayavdel Kim and Arben Achayshech Beshvil Shatashmi Sheshal Olam. Hashem separated day and night for the service of the world. This is what the world needed. For the benefit of the world needed a separation between day and night. He made that separation. You can't break that separation. And just as Hashem separated between the night and between the darkness, light between the darkness, for the usage, for the benefit of the world, so too Hashem separated the Jewish people from other nations. Shenemar, as it says, V'avdil eschem min ha'amli yosli. I have separated you from the nations to be to me. V'kach hivdil Aaron. And so did he separate Aaron. Shenemar, as it says, V'yubadil Aaron l'akdisha b'kedesh kadoshim. Aaron was separated to be sanctified, holy of holies. V'michayil matem la'arev oisa havdala shivdil b'ena b'na chayshech. If you'll be able to mix up that, you'll be able to break that separation that Hashem made between light and darkness. You'll be able to do the same thing here. So here in this medrash, there's a little bit more elaboration, but those words, Hashem separated between light and darkness for the benefit of the world. That's what the world needed. He separated Ben Yisrael la'amim, he separated between the Jewish people and other nations. He says, just as he separated light and darkness for the benefit of the world, so too he separated between Yisrael la'amim, the Jewish people and other nations, and so too he separated Aaron from everyone else with the kahuna. So that means to say that The same way, it's part of Hashem's order of the world. For the benefit of the world, to have a separation between light and dark, so too there is a benefit for the creation to have a separation between the Jewish people and other nations, and between Aaron and the rest of the Jewish people. It's all part of Hashem's plan. He's designated for that. It's all part of the plan for creation. So when Korach is saying, no, Moshe, you chose Aaron. Hashem gave you the choice to choose Aaron. Moshe says, no, it's not me. It's not me, it's Hashem who did it. And when Hashem did it, Hashem separated Aaron. Hashem made Aaron the Kohen Gadol. He separated Aaron over everybody else the same way he separated between day and night, between the Jewish people and the nations of the world, for the use, for the purpose, for the benefit of the world. It's all part of the order of creation. You can't change that. This is what Moshe was trying to teach to Korach and his assembly. It's not me, it's Hashem. And it's Hashem in the sense that it's part of creation that Aaron should be the one that is separated from the Kohen Gadol, just so the Jewish people are separated from nations of the world and light and darkness are separated. So it's a very powerful way of bringing out the idea that it's not me, Moshe says, who appointed Aaron. It's the Rebbe Yishon who appointed Aaron. And he didn't just appoint Aaron. Aaron being the Kohen Gadol is part of the plan of creation. It's part of what the world needs, just as it had. There's a separation between light and darkness, and between the Jewish people and the other nations of the world. Aaron is part of that order of the plan for creation. Okay. So now we've got, yeah.
It's interesting that the Moses does this, but the Midrash doesn't. That Moses says, and also you're separated out as Levi. Right, there's sort of right. He says to Korach, sort of calling, you know, sons of Levi.
Oh, you mean in the pasuk?
In the pasuk, yeah.
Right.
The Midrash isn't calling that out.
Because at that point, Moshe didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
Moshe just said Boker.
Okay.
So it's an interesting point, you know, the fact it's interesting that the Midrash mixes in, you know, between Yisrael and Amim, which you don't find Korach ever did that. So it could either be that just part of again Moshe using examples of separations that Hashem meant for the plan of the world. Maybe there's another explanation to the Medrash. But according to the Bar Yosef, Moshe is replying to Korach, it's not me, it's Hashem. It's not just Hashem choosing Aaron. It's part of Hashem's plan of the creation. Okay.
Were they first cousins?
Yes, they were. Now, the next thing the Bar Yosef explains is a very interesting Gemara in Mar Baba Basra. Mar Baba Basra talks about a sage, Rabbi Bar Chana. And it talks about Rabbi Bar Chana's different voyages and interesting things that happened to him. And I think there's a question in the Mefarshim, is it all metaphor? Is it for real? But here is part of what the Gemara describes, one of the adventures of Rabbi Bar Chana. Dahu Tayu, you had this Socher Yishmaeli, this Arab merchant who was there traveling with him. And he showed Rebbe Bar Chana where the assembly of Korach was swallowed up. He said to him, I will bring you to the place where they were swallowed, as is described in the parasha. Okay, and he told them, he told Rebbe Bar Chana, you know, put your ear down to the ground and listen in. And Veshama, Rebbe Bar Chana heard, Shahayu Omer, he heard these voices saying, Moshe emes, v'sayrasay emes, Moshe is true, his Torah is true, v'hein badoy, and they're liars. And then this Arab merchant told him, shekol shloishim yayim, every 30 days, madalu gehenim lahacha, kebasa bekalachas. Now again, you know, this area that he's showing, Rabbi Bachana, where the people of Korach were swallowed up, this is their section of Gehenim. I think the Gemara says there was smoke coming up. If there's smoke coming up, or the Arab merchant put something down there and he took it out and was all singed. So this was the part of Gehenna where they were being taken care of. And every 30 days, basically, he says, they're turned over like a piece of meat that's roasting, that you basically, every once in a while, you have to turn it over. You know, you have one side getting cooked and then you got to turn it over for the other side to get roasted. So every 30 days, they kind of get turned over, you know, from top to bottom, And again, they say, Moshe emes, v'sayrasay emes, they proclaim Moshe is true, his Torah is true, the Heim Adoyin, and they're liars. Okay. So every 30 days this happens. Okay, what day does it happen on? What day of the month does it happen on? It's every 30 days. Every 30 days from Monday, from what day? Says the Rashbam, Kol Rashbam, the commentary of Rashbam, Rashi's grandson of the Gemara Baba Basra, Kol Shleishim Yom, Kol Rosh Chodesh. It goes on, it happens every Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh this happens.
It's not 30 days.
Yeah, okay. Means every month. Now, so then the question is, why Rosh Chodesh? Why is going on? Why does this happen on Rosh Chodesh? Says the Rebbe Yosef, according to what we just said, it's very good why it happens on Rosh Chodesh. Because Korach was trying to use Rosh Chodesh as a support for his claim, and therefore Rosh Chodesh becomes the time, measure for measure, to punish him. And then the Rebbe Yosef says, and what about this metaphor about the piece of meat that, you know, it's hanging and you turn it over, you know, top to bottom, every 30 days, what's the point of that? So the Bar Yosef says a very nice explanation. He explains that we know that Moshe and Aaron were very humble people. Very humble. Moshe is called Anav Mikol Adam, the most humble. The Gemara in Chulin says, Moshe and Avraham called himself, Avraham said to himself, Anochi Ofer Va'efer, I am dirt and ash. And Moshe and Aaron, when the Jewish people were complaining about food before the man was given, they say, V'nach Tumar, what are we? We're not even dust and ashes. So Moshe and Aaron, when they talk about themselves, they talk about themselves in an even more humble way than Avraham Avinu did. So you're talking about very humble people. And what does Korach say to them? What does Korach say about them? Rav Lechem, you've taken too much. Madu tisnasu al kal Hashem. Why do you raise yourselves above everyone? They're basically saying, Moshe and Aaron, you know, you're coming across so humble. If you come across so humble, why do you take everything for yourselves? Why do you go ahead and try to put yourselves above everybody else when everybody's worthy? Basically, they're trying to say, you know, they're trying to turn everything over upside down, right? They're trying to take what everybody sees about Moshe and Aaron and say, no, it's not that way. It's really the opposite. As the Gemara, the expression that's used very often for this kind of thing is to take the bowl and turn it over and to turn it over, right? The bottom now is on top and you spill everything out. This is when you try to go ahead and take something that is an established thing, and now you try to take it to the opposite end, it's described as topsy-turvy, you know, turning everything over on its head. Well, being that that's what Korach was trying to do, his punishment is that he goes through a similar kind of thing. He also goes from, you know, he starts at a point where he has a top and a bottom, and then he gets switched over. The bottom goes to the top. He also goes topsy-turvy. He also gets turned over the same way he was trying to turn over everything about who Moshe and Aaron were. So that is the Bar Yosef's approach here to what was Korach's claim. What was Korach's claim to be able to claim that Aaron should not be the Kohen Gadol? His claim was that Moshe was the one who was given the power to appoint him. He shouldn't have appointed him. And the truth, as Moshe said, was it was not he who appointed him. It was Hashem who appointed him. It was Hashem who always, it was always destined from Hashem that Aaron should be the Kohen Gadol. Now, I mentioned before that Rashi brings down that when Korach first approached Moshe, so he came and he was all, you know, wrapped in a talis and a cloak of tchelas, and he says to Moshe, does this need a string of tchelas on it with the tzitzis? And Moshe says, yes. And they all start laughing. What do you mean? Oh, one string is enough, but a whole talis of tchelas isn't enough? Doesn't make sense. So everybody asks, Korach's one doesn't make sense. The tchelas is that when Torah talks about the tchelas, it's one of the strings. We don't care what color your talus is. We don't care if your talus is green. It's the strings we're talking about now. And one of the strings have to be tchelas. So Moshe's answering very simply, what was Korach thinking? What's his claim? What's Korach trying to make a claim of? And an explanation that's given is that, again, for Korach to be able to challenge Moshe, to say that Moshe's words are not reliable, it's not enough just for him to say, not true. He needs to create a philosophy. He needs to create this new approach to Torah, an approach that people will like and join up in, and use that approach in his undermining Moshe. And basically, the approach of Korach is to say that, you know, Moshe when he's telling us what Hashem wants, he's making a lot of decrees. This is the way it is. But that's not the way, that shouldn't be our relationship with Hashem, just as servants, as, you know, he makes decrees and we have to listen. It should be one of a relationship. It should be one of love. It should be something that we can relate to, something that makes sense. And the same way that he was trying to say it didn't make sense for Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol, and Moshe is saying it's Hashem's decree, he's now going to try to approach Torah in a whole new way and try to show up Moshe in the sense of saying what you're saying doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The rationale of having a blue string on your tzitzis, what's it for? So Rashi says the blue reminds you of the sea reminds you of the sky reminds you of Hashem's throne. There's a reason behind it. Well, if that's the reason for Tcheles, and all you need is one string to fulfill that, if the whole thing is Tcheles, I'm wrapped in Tcheles, I'm surrounded by Tcheles, I shouldn't need anything more. That's, again, if you're working with the rationale. Moshe Rabbeinu's point was, that's not what Hashem decreed, that's not what Hashem wants. And this was the philosophy that Korach was trying to bring about to undermine Moshe and to say it's the same idea. What makes sense is that Aaron should not be the Kohen Gadol. But again, this is Moshe's whole thing. You know, it's about control, right? It's about controlling the masses. It's about going ahead and saying God has decrees and we have to listen. That's an angry God, right? We have a loving God. And he's one that we can relate to, one that makes sense. And there's another medrash about what Korach used to undermine Moshe. And the Medrash calls it Leitzanus. Calls it Leitzanus. He was mocking. And this is brought down again in the Medrash in the Yalkut. And it says like this. So Korach gets up and he says to the people, and let's just go through the story. Then we'll analyze it. Amana achas haise b'shchinasi. There was once a widow in my neighborhood. The ima shtei na'aretz yisaymais, and she has two young girls, orphans. Vayila sada acha, she had a field. Field in the desert? Maybe?
Field?
It says she had a field. In the desert? Nope. Maybe? Bas lachresh, she wants to plow. Amar lo Moshe, Moshe says to her, v'sachresh b'shar v'chamor, you can't plow with a donkey and an ox. Basla Zraya, she comes to sow the field, to plant the seeds. Omar Lo, he says to her, Satchalay Sizra Kalayim. You can't plant the mixture. You can't have the grain and the grapes.
Why?
You can't have the wheat, excuse me? Kalayim. You can't have the grapes and the wheat next to each other. Baslik Savalasa Sarema, she comes to harvest and to start piling up her grain. Omar Lo, Moshe Rabbeinu says to her, Anich Leka Chikhupeya. You gotta leave the parts for the poor. She now comes to thresh and to find a lot and to make a pile in her silo. You got to give truma, ma'isarish, and ma'isasheni. She accepted the judgment. She gave him. I mean, she did what she had to do. Ma'asasa, what did she do? Machra hasada. She sold the field. Mm-hmm. Not worth it. She bought two lambs, two sheep. Kadei lobush kazei seyen, the shearings she used for clothing, lenas bepere seyen, and whatever they produce, she'll benefit from. Kivin sheyoldu, they give birth. Ba Aaron va'amrala, Aaron comes and says, Tanilia b'chayres, I get the firstborn. Shekach siv kalabachar sheyivaleid. Hitztik alei asadin, she accepted the judgment. V'nas alei asavladus, she gave him the offspring. He is mangaziza. No, the wool grows, time to shear the wool. The Gazai says she shears it. Amalah, Aaron comes over to Nali Rashis again. The first of the shearings go to me. Shkacham of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Amra, ain't the Kayach Amr Bishazat. I don't have the Kayach for this anymore. I don't have the strength to deal with this man. Harin is Sheikh Tassan Vaychlasan. I'm just going to shach them and eat them. Kemish Sheikh Tassan, she shachs them. Aaron comes back. Tani Azroya, Alachayim Vakeva. What do you mean? I get the front leg, I get the cheeks, I get the stomach. Amra, she says, Afilu achash shachad li nitzalta miyadai. Even after I shechted the animals, I can't get away from him. V'amra, so what does she do in her frustration? Harei alai cheirim. She says, they're all cheirim. Aaron says, now it's all mine. Because the Torah says, if you proclaim things are cheirim, it belongs to the Kayin. Okay, says Kairach. Why? Shekach Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, "Kol Chayim BeYisrael L'Chayiyah." The Kohen Kain gets anything proclaimed as Chayim. Not of a Halach Lay V'Nicha Boichem Shtei B'Noisel. And he just walked away and left that widow crying with her two daughters.
What's Chayim?
Chayim is, we call it excommunication, but it's a form of neder. It's a form of vow to say, I'm not having to do with this anymore. It's in Parashas B'chukaisai. Kedain kulan avdin loha bizisa alubsa v'tenem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did Korach say after this whole story? That this is what Moshe and Aaron do. Right? Basically, they embarrass you, they make fun, they put you down, and they all blame, and they blame it, and they attribute it to Hashem. Right? Now, I was thinking about this.
You see how a crowd, and it's tells a story.
Right. But let's think about it, right? I mean, Korach is telling about this almana in his neighborhood. Was he concerned that maybe somebody's gonna try to check up on the story? And see if everything, such a thing ever happened? Did it ever happen? Did he really have this almana with a field by him doing this? Did he really have it? Should he have been? I mean, I don't know.
Wait.
But the point is that was it, if this wasn't really true, like, was he concerned about it? Another thing, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he tells her, don't plow with a donkey and an ox. I don't know how many people normally plow with a donkey and an ox. They both don't work well together. They're different types of animals, right? So he told her not to do that. Big deal. Oh, so you'll say, well, you know, that's the only thing she had. Nope. Okay. He tells her, leave for the poor. Okay. When you leave for the poor, doesn't mean there's nothing left for you. It means nothing left for you. She could still have something left for her, right? You give truma and my, but you give truma, right? How much truma you have to give to the Kohen, according to the Torah law?
10%.
Nothing. A drop. Not nothing. Give a kernel is enough, midaraisa. A kernel is enough. Okay? And midrabanan, it's a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th. And if she's so poor, she can for sure get away with a 60th. And who knows if they're even, if she even had to do what eventually the rabbanan were gonna do. One minute. Now. And then, you know, the thing with the sheep. Right? Okay, you take the firstborn, I hear that one. Rachis Hagez, the first of the shearings. The first of the shearings. Doesn't mean you don't, that's not most of it. It's the first of it. So, the Merit Majors calls it Litzanis. It was a Litzanis. It was political satire. Okay? But his point was, but he was trying to make a point. His point was, you know, this is how you treat a widow. That's what the Torah wants you to do to a widow? It's not be doing all those things to a widow. Again, because the philosophy of Korach is that it's not about decrees. It's not about decrees. It's about Hashem loves us, and it's all about love, and it's all about good, and it's all good. And it's not about decrees. And this was Korach's way of getting the people behind him to say, you know, he was the populist, going in and saying that you know, this is that's not God doesn't, that God doesn't want decrees that you just have to listen to, which is what Moshe is saying about his brother. That's not what Hashem wants, and that was the philosophy that I was trying to use to question Moshe's reliability and Moshe's trustworthiness.
Like a New York Times.
Well, we don't want to get into specific present day comparisons.
Yeah, I can give you.
It goes both ways.
Whichever way, right?
Whichever way it goes.
Show you birth certificate.
Okay. Now, I want to share with you now a thought from Rabbi Ruchman Lubavitz, and this thought is based on what Pirkei Avos says about Korach. So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, "Kol machlokes shi l'shem shamayim, any machlokes for the sake of heaven, seifa l'eskayim, it shall endure. V'kol machlokes she'ino l'shem shamayim, any machlokes, any argument, any quarrel, that's not for the sake of heaven, ein seifa l'eskayim, it shall not endure at the end." What's an example of a machlokes? What's the example of a quarrel that's for the sake of heaven? These are the arguments of Hillel and Shammai. Was an example of an argument that's not for the sake of heaven? Korach and his assembly. And as we see, Korach and his assembly did not endure. Reuven Levavitz understands the Mishnah, that if the Mishnah is trying to talk about, it's trying to contrast an argument for the sake of heaven and an argument not for the sake of heaven, the difference between the two is it for the sake of heaven, is not for the sake of heaven. But it's a similar, but both of them should seemingly need to be a similar argument, but one of them is for the sake of heaven and one is for ulterior motives. If that is what the wording of the Mishnah implies should be the contrast, then Korach should not fit. Because we assume that Korach's whole rebellion is self-promotion. It's all about Korach wants the job. He wants the honor. He wants the status. That's not a comparison to Hillel and Shammai. That's not an argument that the only thing that what's missing in it is Shem Shamayim, heavenly sincerity, being genuine. The whole thing was just self-promotion. It's a very strange comparison. Therefore, says Rabbi Rucham, that we have to understand Korach's rebellion against Moshe should not be seen as, I want the job, I deserve the honor, I deserve the position. But Korach, when you hear Korach, Korach's claim is that, why Moshe and Aaron are you the only ones that are meriting the special relationship that you could have with Hashem by being the leader and being the Kohen Gadol? Why do only you have it? When they were clement to Moshe and they were saying, when Korach is saying, I want to be Kohen Gadol, everybody heard Torah at Sinai, this is Korach saying, I want the opportunity to be close to Hashem as a Kohen Gadol gets. Why is that closeness to Hashem only being reserved for you and not giving other people the chance for it? So this is not the person trying to say, I want the job, I want the position. It's the person that says, I want that closest to Hashem. I want that experience of Kahuna that everybody has. Yeah, we don't see Korach like that, but Rabbi Rucham is saying that's what the Mishnah is telling us. When Korach, if you were there, you would have seen Korach demanding the chance to be close to Hashem just like Aaron is. Why is Aaron the one who only gets that chance to be close to Hashem? Why can't I have it? Why can't other people have it? That's what he's saying. That's what you'd be seeing. You'd be seeing people that would be saying, we want that chance of closeness that a Kohen has too. I would compare it possibly to what we had in last week's Parsha, when you had those people that were impure and couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. The law was, you can't bring the Korban Pesach. So what do? They come to Moshe and they say, why should we be left out? Why should we be left out? You came Tamei, as the Medrash says, you were doing a mitzvah, and that's what happened. But they still claim, they said, but we don't want to lose out. And what happened? They got a mitzvah because of it. If you would see Korach coming to Moshe, it's not Korach saying, hey, I wanted that job. How come he got the job? I want the job. That's not what you'd see Korach say. You'd see a person, you'd see people that were fervently trying to gain the closeness of Hashem that you can get through Kahuna. Says the Mishnah, but there was a problem. The problem is that in some degree the motivation was ulterior. In some degree there was, in the back of their minds, the back of Korach's minds, there was a certain ulterior motive. It wasn't 100% pure. There was a certain ulterior motive there. And because of the fact that there was an ulterior motive, so now you have a machlokes, it's a quarrel, it's a quarrel, right? It's not just, asking a question. Korach is making, he's supporting a machlokes. He's sustaining an argument. And he's sustaining an argument where, in essence, again, the argument is, I want to be close to Hashem. The motivation, deep down, is selfish. So he's promoting an argument that says, I want closest to Hashem, but it's not 100% genuine. To some degree, there's a certain selfishness involved in it. Now, the Gemara says, our Chazal teach us, sages teach us, that a person should do a mitzvah shaloi lishma, a person should do a mitzvah insincerely, for an ulterior motive. He should do a mitzvah with the ulterior motive, shemeteich shaloi lishma ba lishma. Because when you start doing the mitzvah with ulterior motives, like for the honor of being a Torah scholar, you'll keep learning, you'll start with the ulterior motive, and then you'll you'll become genuine, become sincere. You become sincere. So here's the question. Can you do that with a machlokes? Can you sustain an argument? The argument is an argument that says, I want closest to Hashem, but deep down I know what's motivating me, or I should realize what's motivating the person is a certain degree of insincerity. So do we say, go ahead and keep that argument going, that argument that says, I want close to Hashem, keep it going insincerely because it'll become sincere? No. By a quarrel, that doesn't work. When you're leading or sustaining a quarrel, it doesn't work that way. If you're sustaining a machlokes, it has to be l'shem shemayim. It has to be completely for the sake of heaven. It can't be the other way. It can't have an ulterior motive mixed in. Because once it has an ulterior motive mixed in, it's not going to work. It's not going to last. It's not going to work.
But the difference in the way you described it recently is so small, you know, 1%, and yet there's a huge difference between what happened in this situation. In one case, they got some credit, and the other, they got fried. They were rotating.
I'm not sure which thing you're at. That's because it was because since it was shaloi l'shem shemayim, it got out of hand.
No, I understand. But it looked like the difference in actions was reasonably small, but different in punishment and reward was...
No, because the action eventually got out of hand.
Oh,
Korach, definitely. The way I understand this is that this argument, l'shem shemayim, if the argument, even though again, the argument is, I want close to Hashem, right. But if it's not going to be completely sincere, or if there's too much insincerity involved, it's going to fall apart. It's going to turn to something completely different, which is what happened by Korach. It's going to turn into something completely different.
Who determines insincerity?
Insincerity is determined by what your motivation is.
So how do you know?
So I think the answer is going to be, you have to look at Korach and see how he did things, and from that you'll see if you're sincere or not. It says that Korach, what got Korach going after Moshe? He became jealous that he didn't get a certain position. It didn't even start off with the position of Kohen Gadol. It became the position of being the head of the family of Kohath, that he was skipped over for that and was given to a younger cousin. This guy, he became jealous of that. And we could say his jealousy first started like a proper jealousy, but then it kind of became a real jealousy. So you have to look at yourself, if you get involved in some kind of a quarrel, right? You got to look at yourself and say, okay, what's the motivation here? That's number one. And then number two, you got to look about how you're doing it. How are you leading? How are you sustaining this quarrel? Are you being like Korach, that you're making a mockery of your opponent, and you're acting? And again, but Korach is, he said, I want to be close to Hashem. So what does he do? He puts down Moshe. He mocks Moshe. He derides Moshe. You know, if that's what you're doing, right? If the way you are carrying out your point is not the proper way of doing it, then that's another sign that there's something wrong here. So I think that would be the answer to your question, Barry.
There's something about once you're entering into a disagreement, you have to be that much more careful about yourself.
Right. Correct. And there are people in history, you know, history, there have been what we call machlokes l'shem shemayim. There have been situations where there was this sustained argument about things that went on. And very often the problems kind of arose amongst the followers more than the essential leaders having the argument. It became personal amongst the followers. But again, the person who's going to be involved in such a thing, you know, you have to be very careful. You know, there are times you've got to stand up and you can't back down, and you really got to lay things out the way they are. But you got to make sure you're sincere, keep your sincerity, and make sure you understand what's motivating you, and make sure the way you're carrying it out is in the proper Torah way.
But they look at the history too. If you've done this in the previous times, they have a bad history of doing things that would make you trouble. Like they,